T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Molly and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
We heard from Harry Heaston yesterday in the midst of hearing from Bears assistant coaches. Harry Heaston, quote, "When the expectations are high for all of us as players and coaches, and you're not having the success you've anticipated, I think it doubles down a little bit. That was the sense I got, and we just couldn't work our way out of it."
The burden of expectation caused you to lose to the Packers? And obviously the burden of expectation caused the fans to start booing in the second quarter. That's early to be booing. But by the end of the game, every three and out was booed.
Oh, come on. Are you going to say cause effect there?
Is that what he implies? He didn't say booing, but he said expectation, which is why people boo. I mean, is that an implication that booing kind of got to them? And we know that Eddie Jackson didn't like it because he came on the station and talked about it.
If you're the offensive line, you're going to be the one that dictates the course of every game, of every series. You have to be immune to that kind of external noise, that kind of external pressure. Expectations cannot touch you. They cannot affect you. Tune it out.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Good morning, Kyle over there.
Mornings on The Score.
And the 1-2. Line toward right field, caught by Garcia. Ball game over. San Diego wins it by a score of 4-0. The Cubs and the Brewers now are tied for the second wild card spot in the National League.
Mully Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Not quite the way you drew it up, Mr. David.
Not quite. Good morning, Mully.
Boy, how are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. I thought we had agreed the Brewers were done. I thought that their season ended.
No. I told you they'd have that. Okay. They have the yellage bump, and then their season be done.
And the moose is on the loose, and Mike Moustakas.
You got to hope that the Yelich bump, and again, when you lose a great player, there is like a week-long period where you think, I think I can, and then you realize, no,
sure,
it's too far to get up that hill.
You know what? It doesn't matter, though. The Cubs
it
need to worry about
themselves.
It does matter
because they played the Cardinals.
Yeah, that kind of matters, but the Cubs, if they get shut out against rookie pitchers, it's not going to matter. This is a team that last night, again, boy, you just grimace when you watch the Cubs. Like, oh, my gosh.
Through gritted teeth, we speak.
We are the postgame show again, though.
Yeah. Yeah, they played late, and it ended late, and they lost, and they did nothing. I thought I had this thought in the back of my head that Chris Bryant was healed, and now he was just going to hit two home runs every game. But that thought disappeared pretty quickly.
I just thought they were going to get that boost from Tony Kemp being at the top of the order. Boy, that was a little odd.
Okay.
Let's go all lineup-ista on you. You look at these lineups down the stretch, and every day you kind of like a little surprised. I guess he's trying to mix and match, and it wasn't just that.
Who's the bigger loss for the rest of the year, Christian Yelich or Javi Baez? Can you make an argument, and I wouldn't attempt to, that Javi was a bigger loss than Christian Yelich?
No, I don't think so. I mean,
because Christian Yelich was the MVP,
you could make
Javi
the argument,
was a runner-up.
But you're talking about a guy who was as dominant as any player in baseball, leaving a team that needs him down the stretch.
I just threw it out there. Yeah. It was done haphazardly. It wasn't even included in the 5-5.
I was attacked on Cubs Twitter yesterday for suggesting that Christian Yelich was in a different echelon than Javier Baez, offensively, of course. Javi's a great player.
Why were you on
Cubs Twitter?
Yeah, I know. I should stay out of Cubs business. You're right.
But you made a statement, and then
somebody retweeted something like, "Oh, well, blah blah blah. The media is making a big deal about Christian Yelich being out for the year. What about Javier Baez?" And I said, "Christian Yelich is in a different class altogether than Javi Baez." And I was swarmed and attacked by Cubby Blue pom pom waivers.
Christian Yelich is having a historic season.
Two historic back-to-back
seasons in a row.
And they kept pitching to him.
Okay, that's beside the point.
And they kept pitching to him.
That's beside the point.
He referred to him as having a Bonds-type season, but kept pitching to him.
Okay, so in that context, yeah. Javi Baez.
Oh, let's pitch to him again.
Matters to the Cubs' offense. I know.
He can't get over that series.
I'm trying to, yeah.
Yes, move on. I'm sorry.
Yelich is a bigger loss.
We're not allowed to talk about that series.
Than Javi. Yelich is a bigger loss.
By a mile. Okay. I was just trying to say the Cubs are hurt too. And I think when we look at this lineup, it's hard to say that it isn't just the road Cubs being the road Cubs, but they also have a lot missing.
Listen,
just being honest about it.
Anthony Rizzo standing on third base in the second inning with a triple, and that was a great play. He chugged it out. He looked like he was laboring. He's standing on third base with nobody out, okay?
I know.
When they could not get him in, you knew how this game was going to go. They can't get out of their own way sometimes, and there's some of those nights that just you feel like are getting away from you quickly, and last night just felt like one of them from the second inning on. Cole Hamels wasn't that bad, and you know, Brad Wick had the little misstep at the guy stole home on him. He lost his composure. You can't lose two in a row to the Padres in the midst of a pennant
race. No, you can't. You can't do that.
No matter where you're playing.
Nico Hoerner 0-for-2 with a walk in.
Set him down.
And struck out. No, just saying, that was, again, it's not what you wanted.
So today you're going to compare him to Ryan Therio. The riot.
It started out with Ryan Sandberg. It's unfortunately, it's just been.
Mike Fontenot?
It's been, oh boy. I think Fontenot had more power.
Mick Kelleher?
It's rough.
Okay.
It's rough. I merely pointed out that among those that didn't hit last night, even Nico Hoerner. They even got to Nico, although he got on base.
We're going to talk to Theo at 8 o'clock, and I'm looking forward to that. I can't imagine he's going to be in a good mood. I can't imagine why Cubs fans would be encouraged. This is really just one day after another. I don't know where to look if you're a Cubs fan and find hope.
I don't know that Theo can supply it.
I don't know that he's interested in supplying
it. Well, but I'm being honest about it. I don't know that there is a lot of hope right now. Things are rough. This is a really bad stretch. You know, they're just as likely to miss the playoffs as make them. Maybe more so, given the way they've been playing.
Well, if things are trending, they're losing two in a row to a Padres team that has nothing to play for.
If they lost 5 out of 6, is it 4 out of 5? I've lost track of it, but it's not good.
I believe it's 5 out of 6.
5 out of 6.
Man. Last three in Milwaukee.
Last time they won was Thursday night when they scored more points than the Bears did.
Okay, so that. Right?
They won the first game in San Diego.
Yeah.
Sorry,
they had the Nico Hoerner game.
So they lost. They've lost 5 of 6.
Yeah, 5 of 6.
It's not ideal at this point.
It's been a rough week in Chicago sports, but
the Nico game.
We're not going to talk about that.
That's the only win. We're not going to talk about what?
Oh, things that are bad.
You're Mitch at the podium. Look at David. He's got all Mitch at the podium. Did Bears PR get to you too?
I can't.
Yeah,
tell
we're not really going to get much into
I'm
that.
I'm not getting into that. No,
that's awesome.
They'd like us to play music this morning.
Have you ever playing country music? Hopefully,
have you ever heard of anything like that? Like a guy up there saying, "Well, he told me not to talk about last week."
Oh, I've seen some awkward press conferences. Yes.
Oh, I've seen plenty of awkward press conferences.
We live in Chicago,
but didn't you get the sense of, well, I'm being blamed for everything, so they don't want me to challenge that at all?
That's one way to look at it.
The Bears, let me tell you something. The Bears did not handle success well on the field against Green Bay. You know, the Bears were going to the Super Bowl. Everything was going to be, Green Bay's coming in. Formality, it's the 100-year celebration. They didn't handle that well. The 85 team being introduced, they didn't handle that as much as well as you'd want. But is it possible that they've handled everything since worse? Is it possible that that was the highlight of their season?
It's been a
thus
clumsy
far?
Week at Halas Hall,
ooh,
to say the least.
Ooh.
And I don't know that it's so much of the way I looked at it was when Mitch Trubisky looked over and said he couldn't talk about the Packers game. It was an acknowledgement of how concerned they are about his fragile confidence.
That's
and you don't feel like he's in a position where he can revisit the mistakes that he made without being
making
closer. To making them again.
Falling apart.
They want to move past it, so they're just going to deny it ever happened.
You and your evil media, you want the poor guy to be in a fetal position behind the podium, crying.
No,
you're breaking his
I want him to have, you know, the maturity that you expect from a professional athlete who is your franchise quarterback to address things openly.
Well,
and not look.
I want him to be quick enough on his feet that you don't have to worry about what he says.
I just hope he wasn't late for study hall.
Exactly. Let me tell you something. You know who looks awful out of that whole thing? For the reasons you're pointing out and other reasons, Mitch. The idea that you got some guy telling him, hey, whatever you do, don't say anything.
He looks the worst out of this.
And then Mitch is like, well, I've been told not to say anything. That you got to be kidding me.
You're the franchise quarterback in your third year as an NFL starter, and you're taking orders from a PR guy?
What did you want him to do, though? Do you want him to go all Jim McMahon and, like, give the double bird to whoever it was? Well, the Bears PR told me not to do this, but you know what? You know, blank that.
Just answer a question.
Answer the question. Address the topic.
Yeah, address the topic. Yeah,
we don't need to know the
light on your feet.
I don't need to know who you met with before the press conference to tell you what to say.
But he's not light on his feet. That's the problem. Well, he's never been a good talker.
Well, that goes back to what Molly says, that Mitch Trubisky came out of this looking the worst because it revealed the fact that not very nimble.
Mm.
Not very nimble when it comes to thinking independently. And that's a problem. You can look at it a lot of different ways.
This occurred to me, but I had this weird memory of working for Taylor Bell, and Taylor could be pretty rough on you if something went wrong, and David Southwell had made some error or something, and Taylor was just so frustrated he yelled at him, "Clank, clank, Southwell, you've got rocks for brains." And that kind of went through my head as I listened to Mitch. No idea why. Sometimes I just remember things from the past.
That's quite a little memory that was jogged.
Those
there.
Are called episodes, I believe.
I won't tell you what he said about me.
I miss Dave Southwell, by the way, as a neighbor. So just
yes, he's your old neighbor.
Old neighbor.
But
he's now a neighbor of Kevin and David Haw.
Is that right?
He's an Indiana guy now.
Haven't lived in Indiana in 10 years.
Don't be an Indiana denier. Why did Kevin become an Indiana denier?
I still love going back for Minor Dunn every now and then.
Embrace the region. Do not deny.
I do embrace. I'm an embracer.
You're not going to take that, are you?
Hoosier PR told me not to speak on it.
Yeah, that was something yesterday.
What was that? That was not, you know what? Honest to God, it didn't make me think, well, don't worry, Mitch has got this.
Well, look, the organization that after they missed the 43-yard field goal, the double doink, turned into a circus and invited Barnum and Bailey to town and said, okay, this is the elephant in the room and we're going to acknowledge it. Now all of a sudden says, nothing to see here.
Yeah.
Our quarterback can't speak
to
this.
Move along.
Right. We're not going to talk about the clunker that resulted in us not scoring a touchdown in our season opener against our arch rival on national television when our guy looked like a rookie again, because we're going to put him up there at the podium and make him look like a rookie again.
Clank. Clank. 312-644-6767. We're going to get into all these and more topics with the 5 at 5. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Steady incremental progress.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
5 at 5 brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the weight. Download the new Sport Clips haircut app and check in.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
Is the Cubs' failure in San Diego a sign of an undermanned team or just more road woes? What is the most likely outcome at this point for the swooning Cubs, division champs, second wild card team, or out of the playoffs altogether?
I mean, they are an undermanned team, okay? Let's get that straight. They're an undermanned team, but they haven't been undermanned all year long. And the road woes thing is real. We thought they had finally broken through that, but no, they haven't. And this is just – that's not a team you should be losing to when you are trying to make the playoffs, period, end of story. Those are games you have to win. When you talk about – games you will regret at the end of the year, we've just seen two of them in a row, and to be shut out in San Diego is just horrible. And how many what they use three bullpen players? I mean, it's not like it was one guy that mowed you down or you ran into a buzzsaw. They just weren't hitting at this point. They are more likely to not make the playoffs, frankly. I think they are going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to win the division. But I think the Cardinals are hitting this bad patch, and the Cubs have not taken advantage of it. I think you're a fool if you're relying on those seven games that you're going to pick up the four games in seven. You're going to beat them that many times. I just don't think that's going to happen. But I do think they'll win the second wild card spot for the reason I was saying, which is that the team that just caught them is going to fade without their star player. Without Christian Yelich, that's going to leave a mark, and it wasn't an initial one. You often see a little bump from a team when someone goes out, and then reality catches up with you, and reality will catch up with the Brewers. So I think the Cubs are going to make it as the second wild card team. I don't think they're going to win the division. Four games with, is it 17 now
games.
Left to play?
Yeah, 17 games
it's
left.
Not enough to make
no,
that four
the
games.
Math
even
not
seven against
you.
Them. So yeah. They're not taking care of business, David, and that is a sign of a, again, it's an undermanned team. But they're following a trend here.
The numbers are against them. The vibe seems against them. This seems like a team that really just is struggling mightily at every aspect. One day it's the offense. The other day it's the bullpen. The next day it's starting pitching. So they can't get it together. That said, the way things are trending, it's hard to predict here with 17 games to go, with the Brewers having caught them, that they're going to make the playoffs. Somehow I do think they'll limp in. I think they'll limp in as a second wild card. I think they'll find a way to win enough games. And also the teams behind them, as you point out, I don't know the Brewers have it in them to stay, you know, without Yelich. This can be a tall order. I think, you know, you look at the Diamondbacks, they're not – I just think the Cubs will figure out a way to get in. It is a flawed team. I don't anticipate anything happening once they get into the postseason. It's going to be a short run and a long off season. But you look at this team and you say, boy, how did they get here? Those are questions probably that you know, we'll spend the next few months answering. But right now, the injuries are as big of an issue as anything. And it's not, it sounds like an excuse, but you know, you do have Javi out. Kimbrel was supposed to help you in September. As shaky as he has been, you counted on him getting together in September. Now it looks like it's end of next week. This is not a guy that's going to help you in September. Your starting pitching has been a problem. You know, you could blame it on being on the road. I don't know what it is. It's just a bad combination. Cubs need to get out of this rut. But the most likely outcome to me is they limp into the second wild card spot.
You know, we were talking about the 9-8 loss, the C-Sheck game, if you want to call it that, where he walked in the winning run as one of the worst losses of the season. I thought last night was worse. I mean, all due respect to Chris Paddock, really good young pitcher for San Diego, but you get three hits out there.
No sign of life.
Just completely flatlined. You're absolutely right, Mully. No fight, no sign of life. And, you know, I'm not going to question the effort of the players. Every single guy on that team wants to win. No question about that. But Joe Maddon, you know, when you put Tony Kemp at the top of the lineup, I don't really know what you're expecting. And Nico Hoerner, I know that Joe usually with his lineups doesn't, you know, necessarily put the hot hand a little bit higher up in the lineup, but why not put Nico Hoerner up a little bit? What was he hitting, eighth last night? What is, if he was supposed to be the spark, which he's looked like he could have been after his first couple of games there, why are you burying him down there and getting him fewer at bats and getting more at bats for a guy like Tony Kemp, who's lucky to have a job in the majors right now? So right when that lineup came out last night, there were questions and then there were answers, ones that you didn't like if you were a Cubs fan. The most likely outcome, David, I agree with you. I think they probably will back themselves into that second wild card, mostly because, you know, the Mets are a very flawed team. Philadelphia is very disappointing. Arizona have been hot, but maybe they got hot a little bit too early, and maybe they've petered out a little bit and ran out of gas the last couple of games. So I think more of a process of elimination thing. The fact that the Brewers are without Yelich now is going to set them back, and I think the Cubs are still the best of a very flawed bunch in the National League. So I think they will probably back into that second wild card spot. But, you know, I don't want to hear about injuries or undermanned. This is $218 million payroll on this team. It's the highest in the National League, higher than anybody that's not the Boston Red Sox. So don't talk to me about injuries. They should have depth at every single position times 10 with the amount of money they've spent on this roster.
Well, Kevin, I get what you're saying about the depth, but when you're analyzing this season and the state of the Cubs right now, where they sit in the standings, injuries have been a part of the deal. Being undermanned has been part of the issue all season long. I mean, you finally get Wilson Contreras back. I mean, when guys come back from injury, it's not, let me drop you into the lineup and you're going to make an impact. So there's the thing with Bryant in his knee. There's Contreras. But currently, the guy you're missing the most is Javi Baez, of course. So there's a little bit of being undermanned. But it's more so the road woes and the fact that this is a different team on the road. They can't bring what they do at Wrigley Field on the road with them. And it's very disappointing, just extremely disappointing. And Mully, I never thought for a moment that they were ever getting better on the road. There was never a moment I believed in it, because you have to believe in it, you have to see it for a stretch. And we haven't seen that. They'll give you a little spark in the first game, as they did in this series and the series prior. They'll give you some hope. They'll look good offensively. And then where does it go? You get a game like yesterday where the offense just doesn't show up. So it's road woes, absolutely. And I think it's more likely that it is that second wild card spot. I'm interested to see if the Diamondbacks cool off, as Kevbo alluded to there, or if they get a little hot again. That's the team that worries me the most right now. I'm not worried about the Brewers. I think the Brewers are done. Yeah, I don't think they'll be out of the playoffs altogether, but I think it's a wild card spot for them, and I think that's dangerous for a team that's so bad on the road.
Boy. It's road woes, I guess. The lineup had me scratching my head. I can't believe Ian Happ wasn't a better option last night than what they had at second base. I don't know, but three hits? Come on. And I can't believe I'd ever say this. I don't want them out of the playoffs, but I just... even if they're the second wild card, how do they
win? You want
win?
It to end.
Almost,
you want this to be over.
Almost.
Wow.
I can't believe you would have been desperate 10, 12 years ago. You'd be desperate for a sniff at the playoffs, let alone now, like, ugh, I can't deal with them losing in the playoffs. Just getting there was enough, right?
That's
just being in the conversation was enough. I can't believe I'm at that.
I'm
but
desperate
I think
for my team
at.
To be over 500,
right,
Dustin.
Exactly.
Just get to 500,
exactly.
And you are scoffing at the playoffs.
It sounds...
That's arrogant.
But hot dogs
arrogant.
Are cheap.
Did I see somebody ordered 32 hot dogs
Shane.
Last night?
Shane had 32 hot dogs.
Wow, Shane digging for attention on social media? You don't say.
There's no simple answer to that question, David.
If the Cubs miss the playoffs, who is to blame? The players, the manager, or the front office? And who will be blamed?
Well, there's certainly no simple answer to this question. I think who will be blamed? Joe Maddon is being set up as the scapegoat here, because he's the guy they're going to part company with, and he's going to leave, and it's all going to be cheery, and we're going to have a parade for David Ross, and if it's him, and boy, we're going to talk about Grandpa Rossi and all this smiles and giggles, and boy, it's going to be fun. Nah, very complicated, but if I'm going to order them right now, here we are sitting here on September 12th with 17 games to go, and this Cubs season looks like it is a lost cause, I'm blaming the players. I'm starting with a $218 million payroll that has underperformed at different times, different guys all season long. You can count on nothing from this Cubs team. One day it's the hitting. One day it's the starting pitching. The other day it's the bullpen. I think there have been guys who have underperformed in every aspect of the bullpen, the starting pitching, and the offense. And so it's hard to pinpoint one or two, because it's been a collective effort and it's been a collective disappointment. That's where it starts, guys. It's all about the players. And then, to me, I think the front office is probably second, because you got a bullpen that... I read where Phil Rogers wrote in Forbes, $65 million invested in this bullpen. It's blown 26 saves. You're picking the wrong guys. and you're getting a team that isn't great to be a roster that's not ideal for Joe to put lineups together, apparently, because the guys haven't developed and the guys haven't been great signings. Castellanos has been great. There have been other signings that have made sense. Darvish finally come through, but I think front office second. And then probably unpopular in town, the sentiment, but I think Joe Maddon is probably third. I think he's going to get a lot more blame than he deserves for the season that got away from the Cubs.
God is first, my friends are second, and I am third. Gail Sayers wrote a book about
it.
Fantastic book. I blame Dustin, frankly. He's quit on the season. I can't believe I heard that, Dustin.
He's the emotional leader.
And he's quitting. And he has bailed on them, and that hurts me deeply. Listen, this Joe Maddon is so getting blamed for this, it's not even funny. And there are a lot of people to blame. But I will start with the players. I understand why everyone has issues with management. I understand why people don't like some of the moves the front office has made. But they have spent a ton of money. They have done everything humanly possible. Every time something goes awry, they go out and get Cole Hamels. Every time something goes awry, they get Castellanos. And, you know, I understand why people don't like Tony Kemp, but they tried. They made an effort. They seem to constantly be trying to bring in pieces and work in the bullpen and doing everything humanly possible to get this team up and running. They really are willing, and God bless ownership for this, to spend the money when they have to try to get something done, right? So I don't know how you can complain about a team that spends money. You can argue that they're not spending it wisely, but it's not your money. They're going out and they're doing anything humanly possible to try to get better. What happened to this team? What happened to these players? I mean, where's Cub for Life Anthony Rizzo? I'm not blaming one guy, but this is a guy that is supposed to be, when people go down, the guy that takes the team on his back and carries the team over the finish line. You know, Chris Bryant comes back and has a game. We're now looking at individual performances for short periods of time. Somebody, and I thought it might be Bryant when he came back, and I thought it could be Rizzo when Baez got hurt. Somebody needs to take this team and put it on their back, right? And Wilson Contreras can't do it because he's not going to get on the field. Baez is hurt. You know, Bryant apparently was hurt all along. Is Rizzo's back so bad that he can't lift anything, including the Cubs?
He was chugging a third yesterday.
I'm just saying, these are the people. Your stars have to be your stars, and when your big stars are out, then your secondary stars have to shine brightly. And we have not seen it from this team, and we haven't seen it all year long. And guys have talked, and they've talked about pushing a button and all the rest of it, but to whom much is given, much is expected. Just go through the payroll, and line them up that way and start being disappointed in guys based on what they're getting paid.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can. There's enough blame that it can be shared equally amongst all these parties. The manager, I think we already know, before the season started, the way they were talking, they didn't want to re-sign him at that time, re-up the contract. We all kind of knew it was a foregone conclusion at that point that this would be Joe's last season, barring a World Series victory, and it looks like that's not going to happen by now. So he's going to get some of the blame. The players,
they better not close that restaurant, because if I have a cheat day, that's where I'm going. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
The players deserve a lot of the blame as well. It's down to them to perform, and this is a collection of all-stars and World Series champions and veterans, and it's a mix of players right here that on paper looks like this should be an easy, 90-95 win team, right? When you look at the list of
all-stars. We're
not
playing Stratomatic, Kevbo.
But this is not Stratomatic. It's not fantasy baseball. You're right, and the players have underperformed, particularly on the road, all season long. But I think, and I'm not calling for the man's job right here because I think he'd be crazy to get rid of Theo Epstein, but you look at some of the bad contracts that he has doled out. You know, for every diamond in the rough they've found, whether it's, you know, a Rowan Wick, there's a Craig Kimbrel. For every Kyle Ryan, there's a Tyler Chatwood. For every Nick Castellanos, there's a Jason Hayward. So for every good move that he's made, it's been offset by an awful move. And you look at the massive payroll that they have, it's too much money spent for not enough results and too many bad contracts. And even guys like Lester, who were fantastic in years past. They're at the back end of their They're at the back end of their careers now. And those are starting not to look so hot either. So it's older players coming home to roost. It's bad contracts tying you up financially, and it's underperforming players. So I think for these three options, Madden is the least to blame, despite the fact that he let off Tony Kemp again last night.
When the season is over, you will hear Theo Epstein say that it's on the players, sure. But ultimately, who will be blamed? It's going to be Joe Madden, and Joe Madden will no longer be the manager of this team. That is the reality of what I believe will happen. He will get blamed. I'm not going to blame him, however. I mean, you go into this season, you can take issue with decisions, in-game decisions he makes, absolutely. However, going into this season, he was tasked with making some changes, and he's made those changes. And I'm not going to blame Joe Madden for this season. To me, this is all on the players. You got to show up, just like you were saying, Molly. You have to show up, and these players are inconsistent and are not showing up. And especially when you lose and you get shut out by a team like the Padres when you're in the playoff hunt and in the hunt for a wild card spot, this is all on the players. I'll also throw some blame at the front office too, though, because, I mean, look at some of these moves that just haven't worked out. I mean, Craig Kimbrel hasn't shown up for you, and now he's injured. Brandon Morrow, before that, closer before him, injured. And they knew he was injured when they brought him in, that he was injury prone. Tyler Chatwood has not worked out. Quintana has been inconsistent. He's been good at times, but inconsistent. Darvish is finally kind of working out for you. So there's some blame to be thrown at the front office too. But the brunt of the blame for the Cubs issues falls on the players.
We're going to do a little trifecta here. Number one is the players. Number two is Joe Madden, and number three is the management. But I'll tell you what, it is a photo. Okay, it is by a nose. All of this stuff is really, really close. Trouble is that the core of this group was put together by the management, correct? And the core of this group won a World Series, and some will say in the World Series itself, the Cubs won despite Joe Madden. Right. I mean, listen, Joe Madden helped get them there. He changed the culture. You can't take away what Joe Madden has done for this franchise, but you can understand why people are frustrated with how Joe Madden has managed this team this year. They're all to blame, and it's very, very close.
That is an unbelievably great question.
Did the Cubs move Jason McLeod from the head of scouting department to the head of player personnel to keep him away from the Red Sox or begin the shakeup in a Cubs organization that needs it?
You know, I think that I think it's interesting because I think Jason McLeod as a scouting maven, and I love those two words together. I love a scouting maven. I think he was tremendous as a scouting maven. I think he's done a great job of recognizing players and bringing in players. The fact that they're moving him, I'm sure that he has ambitions of being a guy that runs his own organization someday. I'm also sure he could do it. I think this is really good for his career in terms of getting to that spot. I also think that he's got this eye that will help him understand what's gone wrong and who's good around baseball. He's armed with all these scouting reports over the years. He knows what he's looking at in terms of Major League Baseball players. I think it helps to have a guy like that in a personnel role. And I think that this speaks to me about a rebuild of the roster, about moving guys and bringing in other guys from around baseball that are developing or not developing, or you saw something in them and they had to do this and they didn't do that. Maybe we can fix that. This, to me, is about rebuilding the Major League roster. It's not about covering somebody's arse. I think Jason McLeod is a super talented guy that has a really good way of understanding the game of baseball and what the Cubs want to do. And I think moving him into a pro personnel role means that they're going to be going out and making a lot of changes and rebuilding the roster.
I think he's a super talented guy who's in a slump. And I think that the way that this went down, the Red Sox firing Dave Dombrowski last week to me, might be incidental to this. This might have happened anyway.
Right.
So we're wanting to attach some greater meaning to this when, in fact, I think this is disguised as a mini demotion. I know he's getting a good title, but let's look at the facts here and let's look at what his job was. This is a guy in charge of scouting and in theory, development. This is a Cubs organization where the development and the stunted development of guys who you drafted is part of the problem. Look at Ian Happ. Look at Albert Almora. Look at Addison Russell. Look at Kyle Schwarber to a lesser degree now because he's come on in the second half. Name a pitcher that was drafted and developed that made an impact on a team that mattered for the Cubs under that regime. It's hard to find. You're not going to find that guy. So
Dylan Cease?
Well, yeah. What uniform is he wearing? I think when you look at what Jason McLeod has done and what he hasn't done, you don't want to lose him because you do value his intelligence. You value everything about him. He does want to lead a team one day. This brings him closer to that because the title still gives him some responsibility. But what's he doing? I thought Jed and Theo were in charge of roster construction. How is this guy going to add a third voice and now they're going to get a new set of eyes to run the division that he was running? Because why? They need a change. They at the top, they need to do something different that they haven't been doing because it's not working. And how do we know it's not working? Because of all the reasons I just cited. So I don't know this has anything to do with the Red Sox. I'm not sure it's a full-fledged promotion, even though it will be sold that way. I think this is the Cubs starting to retool, and that day of reckoning that we have been hearing about, this might be the first domino.
Well, I don't know if the Red Sox firing Dave Dombrowski has a ton to do with this. I mean, all due respect to Jason McLeod, who has done a really good job here. I think they're probably looking for somebody with a bigger name, somebody who has, you know, been the guy in an organization before. As far as McLeod here with the Cubs, yeah, not really a promotion. What did they say, that he was transitioning to a new role? So new responsibilities, maybe. In terms of player development, David, you bring it up, and it's a great point that has been kind of harped on a lot over the last few years. They have not been able to develop one starting pitcher. They've made great trades. I mean, when you look at, you know, bringing in Arrieta or Kyle Hendricks or whomever they've brought in throughout the years, they've had good success doing that. But they haven't drafted a ton of pitchers.
They only started doing that of late. It's not like the organization was loaded with pitching.
Well, I mean, you know, there's like 30, 40 rounds in the MLB draft. You know, right. You're getting pitchers throughout the course.
But
just
we
like
judge,
Ryan Pace wants to
take a
quarterback.
Don't we judge people by
year.
Their first-round picks? Isn't that what David says
okay,
when he's
so
in a slump?
If we're looking at that, then what Albert Almora, Ian Happ, you know, they haven't exactly hit all of those out of the ballpark either. Chris Bryant was a no-brainer. But Schwarber's been up and down.
And Nico,
the jury's certainly still out. We're not putting him in the Hall of Fame quite yet. So I think with this move for McLeod, this transition, as they called it, maybe they do want to get somebody in there who is more focused on pitching, because that is one thing they've not been able to do whatsoever.
I also don't believe that this has anything to do at all with the Red Sox. That I also believe, to David's point, that this is probably something that was going to happen regardless. So I think this will be the beginning of a shakeup with the roster, sure, and the organizational changes that'll be happening once the season is over, including the manager. So yeah, I don't think this has anything to do with the Red Sox. Player development, particularly pitching, as you guys all pointed out, has been an issue, and so I think that it's time for a change there. But they are still happy when you have a guy like McLeod who has been a part of, yeah, bringing in Chris Bryant and, you know, the up and down Kyle Schwarber, and bringing names in that are now gone but have been pieces that have been a part of big moves. Gleyber Torres, Eloy Jimenez. So, yeah, I think they're still happy with him, but it's a part of more changes to come.
Well, changes are coming for sure. I'm confused by the whole thing. Where there's smoke, there's fire. There's some kind of musical chairs going on. And I agree, Mully, you're right about the whole, they didn't draft pitchers, but they seem to still be clueless in the department overall. It's like a kryptonite for them. They just can't seem to figure that part of it out. I don't know why you need three voices in the room. And you're going to tell me that Jason had, like, is Jason so focused on the amateur and the lower, like, he's not involved at all? I just,
Is three voices better than two voices or one voice? I mean, what does Jed do then? And then what is Theo going to be even? Is he removing? Is he going to be like Kenny Williams and really seem to be removed from every? I just don't. It's something's weird, and I can't wait for you guys to ask Theo to explain it to us at 8 o'clock.
I have a few things I need to get through before I open it up to your questions.
Who is more likely to get a sack against the Broncos, Khalil Mack or Leonard Floyd? Both or neither? And will Mitch Trubisky or Joe Flacco be sacked more in the game?
It was funny to hear Vic Fangio yesterday kind of reminisce about his time with the Bears and coaching Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd, who was very complimentary of, look, this is easy. Both. The Joe Flacco's playing quarterback, and the Broncos' right tackle is out, and their offensive line is injured, and this is going to be a day the Bears' defensive front dominates. So I think Mack is in for a big day. I think Leonard Floyd is in for a big day. I wouldn't be surprised if our guy Akeem Hicks is in for a big day. I think both of them get sacks, and Flacco is sacked, I could see, 4 to 5 times minimum, and I don't think the Broncos get to Mitch Trubisky that often, and if they do, I look forward to the post-game press conference where he's told not to answer questions why.
Bring us your tired, your poor, your huddled football team and yearning for a sack. And Joe Flacco will be the statue that stands there with that written underneath him. He is the Statue of Liberty, not as a play, but as a human.
I thought they wanted to change that on the Statue of Liberty.
And, well, yeah, I think that's been bring us your caged. Anyway,
rewrite.
I do think that you're absolutely right, David. I think both these guys will get a sack. More likely would be Leonard Floyd over Khalil Mack, because I would imagine you will block the hell out of Khalil Mack, as every team will. When you approach the Bears defense, what's the first thing you do? What is the first part of your game plan? It is game planning for him. He is a guy that you have to account for. He is the he is the next generation talent. He's the generational player in that group, and you better make sure you know where he is and how you're going to block him up. And I would say that you're going to Akeem after that. How quickly do you get to Leonard Floyd? He's got speed. He showed a bull rush. God almighty, I couldn't believe that one. And that was one of his sacks against Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers can move. Aaron Rodgers is not an easy guy to sack, but Joe Flacco is a different story altogether. I think Flacco will be sacked more in the game, and I think that both these players will get one.
Yeah, calling Joe Flacco a statue is an insult to statues, I think. This guy is more immobile than... I was going to say something offensive, but I'll move on there. I think that Joe Flacco will be sacked more than Mitch. You know, that's one of the good things that Mitch does is, you know, is elusiveness and his ability to get away from rushers. So I think that Flacco will be sacked more, and I think that both Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd will get to Mr. Flacco.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a big day for Mack. I think it'll be both Leonard Floyd and Khalil Mack that sack him. It's going to be a big game for both of them, I think. And I think, yeah, Joe Flacco is definitely... Mitch will get sacked, but Joe Flacco will be sacked more times in the game.
Joe Flacco will be sacked more times in the game for sure. Joe Flacco will run into the arms of Leonard Floyd, and he'll be credited with a sack thanks to the pressure that Khalil Mack provides, and Khalil Mack will get his first little tally mark on the stat sheet. It's all important, and he will get at least his first sack of the year Sunday afternoon.
I mean, that's a pretty general question.
What do you make of Trubisky saying a Bears PR hack told him not to talk about the season opening loss to Green Bay?
Wow,
that's mean.
I'm just reading what's written. Are the Bears trying to make Trubisky the fall guy?
I pick the questions. I don't edit the questions.
The fall guy in the crew? You got to have a fall guy.
That's what we've heard.
Look, that was a bad moment for the Bears. You shouldn't be telling the guy, hey, don't take any questions, but he shouldn't be telling you, well, they told me not to take any questions. The whole thing just seemed farcical and came out wrong. I don't like it. I don't like the idea that Mitch can't reflect on something after the fact and figure out what was wrong and what's going to change. And you know, I get the idea. We're on to Denver. We're on to Denver. I've heard enough Bill Belichick to understand that that's the way some professional coaches like to operate. But you would think that Mitch, as the quarterback of the football team, you know, one of the first pieces of advice that was given to me when I started covering football, and one of the first pieces of advice that I've given others, is very simply, people want to know what the quarterback thinks. People want to know what the quarterback thinks. People want to know what Mitch thinks of that first performance. People want to know what Mitch thinks about the RPO stuff where the coach said that you're going to change some things. That seems to be putting a lot of that on Mitch. Hey, you can't overwrite the quarterback. You can never overwrite the quarterback because he touches the ball on every play, and people want to know how his mind works. The idea that they don't believe it works well enough to answer questions makes me wonder how well his mind works running an offense. It really makes him look bad. And the fact that he kind of blurted out that they told him not to also makes him look bad. So farcical would be my preferred term.
Let's remind everybody, and they know this, but all that matters is if he plays well on Sunday and each and every Sunday. So that is the bottom line. If you play well, it buys you a lot of it gives you a lot of
liberty.
If you
play well, you're allowed to talk about it.
You can talk about it. But that said, who thought this was a good idea? I mean, really, who thought this was a good idea to put your quarterback at the podium and tell him not to address things that your own head coach kind of put him in a position to address? When you have Matt Nagy explain to people and say, hey, give me a break, guys, some of these run-pass options are being called into passes, but they could be runs, that puts the onus on the quarterback, not only that he made those decisions, but to explain those decisions, because this is Chicago. We do pay attention. And if you have a disparity where you have 15 runs and 50 pass plays called, that bears and deserves an explanation. So who thought it was a good idea to clam up Mitch Trubisky and say, don't answer this? And then you're right, Mully. The worst part of that was bad enough. It was worse that he let people know that was the case. And he looked over kind of for direction, like he's getting a play from the sidelines, or he was going to need a hall pass to be out of study hall. This was high school stuff. I mean, grow up, Mitch. You're not a rookie anymore. You're in your third year as an NFL starter in a football city that's crazy about you. And you can own this town if you just can embrace it and figure out how to be that guy. I don't understand why he is so tentative. But now they have created this narrative that he now has to outgrow. And the narrative is his confidence is fragile, and we have to protect him, and we have to coddle him. And that's unfair. But that is the perception that was sent from the podium yesterday.
I think in a word, and farcical is a great one to describe it, I would call it terrifying. I mean, this is supposed to be your franchise quarterback. This guy, is he even sentient up there? I mean, he's looking over to, like you said, David, he's looking over, behind the curtain. What do I say? Oh, I'm not supposed to talk about this. And if you're
Line.
Told, yes, and it's one thing if you're told, okay, Mitch, go out there, don't say anything about that. Don't say that you were told. What on earth is going through this guy's head right now? And now we have to worry about his confidence, and we don't have to boo him, and it's his third year. He's a young quarterback. It's third year. That's not that young anymore. I mean, this should be. Look at the other quarterbacks that have been great, that have been drafted over the past 5 years. By year three, you kind of already knew what you had by then. And hopefully, Mitch can be the exception to that. But hopefully, we don't know what we have already with him. Because if this is what he is, boy, that is big, bad trouble and bad news for this team.
This is a bad look because you got Mitch Trubisky going out in front of these reporters as if he's a White House press secretary. Deflect, 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 deflect. It's bad. It's a bad look. And Trubisky is the fall guy for this. But I think Mitch is just I think he's a nice guy. I think he's a guy that's going to do whatever they tell him to do. And I think he's doing just that. I wonder if this was his admission that to the media that, you know, I personally don't have a problem with talking about this game, but I'm going to do what they tell me to do. So maybe he's trying to put the PR staff as out there as the fall guy.
Coach Fitz and the Big Ten West Division champions return to Ryan Field this Saturday. They host UNLV. Kickoff set for 2:30 on Saturday. Season and single game tickets on sale now at nusports.com. I think Ray makes a really great point there. I think maybe the fall guy, you got to have a fall guy, is the Bears PR staff. They want to move forward. They want to turn the page. As a fan, I don't give a rat's rear end what Mitch thinks about the Green Bay game anymore. I just hope that he can take instruction from Matt Nagy, who I do still believe in at this exact moment, 5:58:21 mark, that he can get to this guy. Can he follow the directions of Matt Nagy as well as he follow the directions of the Bears PR staff? TBD.
All right, that's the 5 at 5, 312-644-6767. I think the takeaway for me is that Dustin has quit on the Cubs. Have you quit on the Cubs, too? 312-644-6767. Mully and Haw on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.